debt. It keeps you tossing and turning at night. You can't get away from it. But the truth is, the system is designed to trap you in debt. Insanely high interest credit cards and loans make it nearly impossible to pay off your debt. There's a new way out of the debt trap, Pivotal Debt Solutions. Pivotal Debt Solutions isn't like the old school debt relief companies that string your debt out for years. They have aggressive strategies that can end your debt faster and easier than you thought possible. Pivotal Debt Solutions can cut or even eliminate interest. Find programs to write off your balances so you owe less. Stop those threatening phone calls, and without bankruptcy and without a loan. Bottom line, they find every solution possible to end your debt permanently. Before you do anything, contact Pivotal Debt Solutions first. Talk to them for free. Find out how fast they can help you get out of debt. Visit zapmydebt.com. That's zapmydebt.com. Zapmydebt.com.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Here's my favorite rant for the day, excerpted from our podcast, which you can find over at TomHartman.com.
Greetings, my friends, patriots, lovers of democracy, truth and justice, believers in peace, freedom, and the American way. Boy, I was going to say 2 days, but it's been about four when you include the weekend of the stock market going up and down and up and down. It seems to have stabilized, so I think you could call this a correction. But why did the stock market explode in the first place, and why is it still vulnerable to crashing? We'll get into that a little later on. But I have a question for you. This I find fascinating. Yesterday, Donald Trump said that if a member of Congress doesn't applaud him, they are committing treason. One of the people in the White House with an IQ above room temperature came out this morning, I guess it was, and said, you know, he was just making a joke. Right. I saw it. It didn't look like a joke to me. But, okay, you know, the president calling Democrats traitors. I mean, treason is defined as giving aid and comfort to the enemy. It doesn't even have to be during time of war. Simply, you know, providing aid and comfort to the enemy. And, it is yet to be seen, but it sure looks like, at the very least, Don Jr. was desperately trying to work something out with Russia, which raises the question, you know, are they our enemy? And that, you know, that's a whole nother topic. But I think the broad consensus is that at the very least, we have interests that don't go in the same direction. So, you know, does that make Donald Trump that and all the other stuff he's done? Does this make him the worst president ever? Hans Alexander Razo wrote a fascinating piece for the extranewsfeed.com website, and it's titled George W. Bush is the worst president in modern history. Yes, he was way worse than Donald Trump. And I'd like to just put that out there as a question, and you know, feel free to call in and register your opinion on this. Is Donald Trump a worse president than George W. Bush was? Yes. Now, just to refresh your memory, I mean, it's real, because, you know, when George W. Bush left office, he only had a 22% approval rating. That's the lowest in the history of the U.S. presidency during the time when we were doing approval rating polls. I mean, we don't know what, you know, Chester Arthur's rating was or whatever, but we certainly know, you know, going back to latter part of the first half of the 20th century, George Bush had a 22% approval rating among everybody. And Bush was one of the most hated Americans. You know, it's just, I mean, this is just a fact. And some of the things that George Bush did, just to refresh your memory again, because it's totally strange that right now, today, when he left office, when George Bush left office, 6% of Democrats said that he was, you know, at least not the worst president ever. Now 51% have a favorable or very favorable view of George Bush. 51% of Democrats. And I want to say, you know, you're forgetting what this guy did. So let's just quickly refresh, you know, go through it, and then we can talk about Trump, and then, you know, we will take your calls on who was the worst president and why. In fact, in this article, the author says the normalization of characters like George W. Bush will doom the United States political system, which is what we were all, you know, many of us were yelling and screaming at the top of our lungs from 2001 to 2009. Bush started a war against Iraq, a country that did not attack us. Bush lied and implied that Iraq was behind 9/11 to the point that about a little more than half of all Republicans actually at the time of the invasion of Iraq believed that Saddam Hussein was behind 9/11. He then, when it was proven that Saddam Hussein had nothing to do with Iraq, although that story still stuck for the poor, pathetic viewers of Fox so-called news and listeners of right-wing hate radio, who still believe it in many cases. Bush then went to lie number two, which is, oh, well, you know, maybe they didn't attack us. Maybe Saddam Hussein and Iraq didn't attack us on 9/11, but they're planning to because they've got weapons of mass destruction. This in the face of Scott Ritter and Hans Blix, the two UN weapons inspectors spending 3 or 4 years crisscrossing Iraq, looking in every nook and cranny, even under the bed in Saddam's palace, and they found nothing. There was nothing. There was evidence of a weapons of mass destruction program back in the late 80s when Iraq and Iran were having a hot war, and we were supporting both sides, by the way. We were supplying chemical weapons of mass destruction to Iraq to use against Iranians, and we were providing Iran with satellite maps showing where the Iraqi troops were. And so about 1 million soldiers on both sides were killed, and we thought that was, you know, like some kind of good policy, right? But in any case, back to George Bush. He violated Article 2 of the UN Charter, which says that no country can invade another country without permission of the United Nations or if they haven't been attacked, or unless they've been attacked. In other words, Article 2, Paragraph 4, prohibits preemptive strikes. Bush did a preemptive strike against Iraq. This is also, he also violated Article 8 of the International Criminal Court statutes and the Geneva Conventions, which are called war crimes. This is what we hung Nazis for after World War II, for torturing people. Bush actually, he didn't just torture people, you know, like in Turkey and in black sites in Iraq and other countries. He didn't just torture people there. He brought them here. He built a torture factory in Guantanamo. Now Trump says he wants to keep it open. So, you know, I mean, this might be a tie. I don't know. But Bush built this torture factory in Guantanamo after torturing people in Iraq. When the pictures got out, it destroyed our reputation around the world. And Republicans continue, in many cases, to defend him on this, which is bizarre. Even David Petraeus, the general who was running our operations in Iraq and Afghanistan, admitted that the U.S. committed war crimes and violated international law. He admitted it. Torture. And then Bush said, oh, no, we never tortured anybody. He lied. He lied to you and me, George W. Bush. Lawrence Wilkerson, who was, you know, Colin Powell's number two. He was the chief of staff to Colin Powell. Came right out and said most of the detainees in Guantanamo Bay were innocent. That didn't matter to George W. Bush. He wanted, you know, he just wanted to destroy some lives to jack up his popularity with Republicans. And let us not forget, in the midst of all this war, that the Bush family actually makes money on war. Remember the Carlyle Group, giant investment company that invested in the military-industrial complex? Well, just by coincidence, the head of the Carlyle Group for a while was George Bush Sr., George Bush Jr., an investor. And then you got Bush's deregulations to the financial market, which arguably led right straight to the collapse of 2008. Bush called himself a born-again Christian, so he said, Quote from George W. Bush, God told me to end the tyranny in Iraq. We got faith-based everything, right? Shoveling money to Jerry Falwell and company. Fighting same-sex marriage. George W. Bush wanted a constitutional ban. He wanted it written into the U.S. Constitution that gay people are second-class citizens and are not entitled to marry, gays and lesbians. Just said no. He cranked the war on drugs massively. He took $1.2 billion and poured it into the war on drugs to imprison more people of color. And he famously said gun control has nothing to do with crime control. So that's George W. Bush. I don't think I need to go through a whole long list of Donald Trump. It's fairly in our face all the time right now. But who do you think is worse? It's an interesting question. George Bush or Donald Trump?
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
And I think you could claim that we survived Bush. I would say we didn't. I would say the country was permanently damaged. But the question then, will we survive Trump? Who was the worst president in my lifetime, in our generation? Was it Bush? Was it Trump? Who do you think? The conversation is amazing. So many details came out. Check it out. Commercial free. Our podcast at TomHartman.com and clips from the show right here on YouTube and Facebook.